It was about this time that King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them. He had James, the brother of John, put to death with the sword. When he saw that this met with approval among the Jews, he proceeded to seize Peter also. This happened during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. After arresting him, he put him in prison, handing him over to be guarded by four squads of four soldiers each. Herod intended to bring him out for public trial after the Passover. So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. So the night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up. "Quick, get up," he said, and the chains fell off Peter's wrists. Then the angel said to him, "Put on your clothes and your sandals." And Peter did so. "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me," the angel told him. Peter followed him out of the prison, but he had no idea that what the angel was doing was really happening. He thought he was seeing a vision. They passed the first and second guards and came to the iron gate leading to the city. It opened for them by itself, and they went through it. When they had walked the length of one street, suddenly the angel left him. Then Peter came to himself and said, "Now I know without a doubt that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches and from everything the Jewish people were hoping would happen." When this had dawned on him, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, also called Mark, where many people had gathered and were praying. Peter knocked at the outer entrance, and a servant named Rhoda came to answer the door. When she recognized Peter's voice, she was so overjoyed that she ran back without opening it and exclaimed, "Peter is at the door!" "Ah, you've gone mad," they told her. But when she kept insisting that it was so, they said, "It must be his angel." But Peter kept on knocking, and when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. Peter motioned with his hand for them to be quiet and described how the Lord had brought him out of prison. "Tell James and the other brothers and sisters about this," he said, and then he left for another place. Amen. And now Jackie's going to bring the word. We'll pray for her. Where'd she go? I did see her this morning.
I don't know where Jackie is, but I'm Mary.
Oh, hello.
Hello. I'm Mary, the mother of John Mark, the bloke who writes the gospel in the future. I'm up here praying with my persecuted church. I'm upstairs in our meeting room. We're really worried. And why? Why are we worried? Partly because we're being persecuted. And partly because we declare the Lord Jesus risen and true King of all creation. And that threatens Herod's power and his position as Rome's puppet King of Israel. That Herod, he's a cunning fox. He took a cautious approach to testing the waters. And he executed James, a church leader, showing James was a political threat. And this action pleased some of the Jews. and it solidified Herod's power. So Herod knows that executing Christian leaders is boosting his career. Now, Herod aims for maximum impact. He targets the top leader. He's jailed Peter. And we're worried for Peter's safety. The Passover and the Unleavened Bread festivals have drawn male Jews to Jerusalem to follow the Old Testament law. And Herod plans to try and execute Peter post-festival when Jerusalem is really still crowded. And this way, Herod can please more Jews and strengthen his rule. Meanwhile, we, Mother Church, pray for Peter's life and safety. We're praying the Lord will miraculously free him from prison. And we're really tired because we've been praying all evening. A knock scares us. Who can be knocking at my door so late at night? The persecutors? Have they come to drag us out into the street like they've been doing to our brothers and sisters? My servant girl Rhoda, she's the bravest of all of us. She goes to the door. Rhoda rushes back from the door, shouting with excitement, "Peter is here! Peter is here! God answered our prayers!" And it's really hard to believe Rhoda. What's she talking about? He's in prison. We tell Rhoda she is mad, and we tell Rhoda, however many times you insist, it can't possibly be Peter. He's in jail. Maybe you heard Peter's angel or ghost, because the Lord did mention guardian angels. But Rhoda insists that God answers prayer and Peter is free. Whoever is knocking is going to wake all Jerusalem, and then we really will be in trouble. I'll go to the door.
Peter! It really is Peter!
Wow! I have absolutely no idea how he got out of prison. Peter is free, and this is absolutely amazing. This is fantastic. The church is amazed, and we are absolutely full of joy. Peter gets us to calm down. Peter tells us what happened. He was sleeping in prison. It was amazing he was asleep. How did he sleep? He was guarded. He was chained. He got a trial the next day and he was probably going to be executed. But Peter was at peace because Jesus said that he would live until an old age. And so he knew he had time ahead to serve the Lord on this earth. Then suddenly an angel and light appear in his cell. The angel wakes Peter. He actually strikes him. And Peter's chains fall off. And the angel tells Peter to dress. Peter obeys. The angel leads Peter past the guards and through a gate that opens itself. They walk along the street and then the angel leaves. Next, Peter realizes this is reality, not a dream. And Peter understands that God rescued him from Herod, jail, trial, and execution. That really is something. That is amazing. And Peter visits my house to tell his church about God's great work. And Peter is really patient with Mother Church. He isn't upset that we left him knocking at the door in the street when Christians are being persecuted. And Peter also trusts us with a task. He tells us to tell other Christians that Jesus intervened and saved Peter. And in this way, Peter is putting a great example to us all. Then, just as suddenly, Peter disappears. This is unusual and takes us by surprise, because last time he escaped prison, he actually went straight back to street preaching and was back in the public sphere. And it's possible that Peter went into hiding to evade the persecution or to ensure our safety. Maybe he was thinking about us. We just don't know. We just know he left. And after Peter's departure, I realized that we mistreated Rhoda. She has unwavering faith and truly believes in the power of prayer. Unfortunately, we dismissed her as mad, so I apologize, and she really is a great example to all of us. Reflecting on what happened, I see that setbacks influenced my outlook. The experiences instilled fear and doubt in me, and I was on a negative down. But Christ has the power to intervene and turn setbacks into victory and joy. Yay. Hey! The persecution forces many to flee, and now Christians are dispersed all around the world, and they teach all nations about the Lord Jesus. And Mother Church is birthing congregations, which brings me joy. Amen. And looking back, I experienced God's love and power. It's the Passover when we celebrate Jesus' victory over sin, death, and hell. And I celebrate the perfect loving relationship between Christians and the Holy Trinity. And overnight, I forgot all that, and I missed God's work. I missed that he was working. I just didn't see it. Let's be patient with ourselves and others when it takes time to notice God's interventions. The Lord patiently reminds me that he intervenes, works miracles, sends angels, and answers prayers. Amen. That is amazing. Let's praise Jesus for his love, intervention, victory, and miracles. Let's take every opportunity to share God's joy. Amen.